Cancer Treatment Centers of America, offering treatment options to patients fighting complex or advanced stage cancer. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
You're listening to Morning Edition on WCVE Public Radio. Brian Ford joins us now live from RBC Wealth Management for his Monday morning analysis of the business and financial news. Hi, Brian.
Good morning, Wayne. How are you?
Just fine, thank you. Well, after months of sound and fury over the fiscal cliff, we had the spectacle of Congress giving up the New Year's Eve partying to stay on Capitol Hill and come up with a stopgap measure passed at at 2 a.m. on New Year's Day. We'll talk more about that fiscal cliff postmortem a little bit later. But it was quite a spectacle as we kind of limped away from the fiscal cliff.
Yeah, I think that's all right, and I think today a lot of people are kind of digesting that, and kind of a today is more like a back to school, back to work time frame for a lot of people. I know we had a few days of 2013 action last week, but it does feel like New Year's to some today on Monday.
The first full week of the new,
exactly.
new year for most of us.
But it was a great start for the stock market, as you say, due to this fiscal cliff sort of resolution. The S&P 500 actually rose to the highest level since 2007 last week. Hard to believe. But 401k and pension money has been flowing in steadily. And analysts report that it was not just hot money or hedge funds. It was pretty broad-based buying last week. The big issue now is corporate earnings season, which will start in earnest this week. We'll hear from companies like Alcoa, Wells Fargo, and Monsanto, to name a few of the early reporters. We also got the December jobs report last week, which was kind of right on target, Wayne. Growth of about 155,000 jobs for the month, and the unemployment rate stayed about the same at about 7.8%. The good sign was the private sector added most all of the jobs. Now, the reality check is this one, though. Unemployment actually will likely go back up as the economy gets better. And the reason for that is because as many of the people who dropped out of the workforce over the past year or two come back in, that's going to swell the ranks of people looking for work.
Well, as you said, it was a great week for stocks, but it was a bad week for bonds. Is there a correlation?
Well, there is, and you're right to note that. It was a bad week for government bonds in particular. The prices dropped sharply, and the yields on these government bonds rose significantly to levels not seen since last April. Now, let's keep in mind what this actually means. The rates are still very low, and they shot up, quote-unquote, from 1.6 to 1.9%. But it does give credence to the persistent fear among many that at some point in the near future, interest rates may spike much higher, especially when and if the Fed stops their, you know, incredible rounds of bond buying and stimulus, over $80 billion a month still. One reason why investors sold off their government bonds was that economic data from December was actually pretty good. The ISM, which is called the Index for Supply Management, that's a major indice. They measure services. The services index was way higher than people had expected. And even the manufacturing index indicated a growth mode. This was all happening despite the fiscal cliff doom and gloom.
Mm-hmm.
And also Hurricane Sandy. The bottom line on that, Wayne, is that rates are kind of likely to stay in historically low ranges for a while. But these itchy trigger finger of some investors reveals itself sometimes. I would not be surprised still if investors run back to the safety of government bonds later this month or in February due to the debt ceiling fights that are coming.
Now the postmortem on the fiscal cliff solution. As we said, it's really a stopgap measure.
Yeah.
The current tax rates, the so-called Bush tax cuts for most people, were made permanent.
Sure.
That was one accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
But the sequestration, the
mm-hmm.
sharp spending cuts that were scheduled to take effect at midnight December 31st, that has been put off for 2 months. So
yeah.
Some more fierce battles are ahead, it appears.
Yeah, I would say you're right on the target there. No, first and foremost, it was better than nothing. That is true. I think that the deal itself that came out makes recession in 2013 highly unlikely. The drag that we would have felt without such a deal would have been much worse. It would have been higher, well higher than our current 2% growth rate on GDP. Now we feel like the drag on the economy will be more like 1.5%, which we feel like can be overcome. I do agree with you that the quote-unquote permanent nature of the capital gains and dividend taxes is helpful. it provides more certainty than we had before. And Wall Street and business generally really dislike uncertainty. They just can't plan effectively. But I have to ask you, Wayne, and what's really permanent in D.C. anyway? So we have to kind of take that with a grain of salt. The other postmortem is that the payroll taxes are going back up, which will pinch people more than I think they assume. Likely about $200 billion will be coming right out of employees' paychecks in 2013. The chances, though, that the second half of this year may actually, the growth may actually be enough to overcome that. But I do think one thing in particular that we need to focus on is that while the taxes were raised, there was no progress on debt or spending, which is bad. I think it makes a possible downgrade of the U.S. credit rating likely as early as March.
The retail shopping season got off to a great start right after Thanksgiving, but then it kind of fizzled. What happened?
Yeah. Well, you're right. This is a big deal because so many retailers get as much as half of their profit or revenue for the year just in the last 6 weeks. The news was okay, but just not great. Basically, what happened, as you mentioned, right after Black Friday, up over 10% from last year, optimism was reigning high because retailers had an extra week this year before Christmas. But it turned out there was that big lull, and much of the purchasing was done closer to Christmas at much lower prices. You add in the fiscal cliff uncertainty and the after effects of Hurricane Sandy, especially in the Northeast, and you basically had buyers being slower. But the results were not too bad. Major retailers showed a small increase year over year from last year. But if you strip out a couple of retailers like Costco, on which this index is weighted heavily, the results dip below 3%. In fact, just last week, several major retailers like Target, Macy's, and Kohl's dropped their fourth quarter earnings guidance significantly, which is a negative sign. Generally, online sales were a bright spot for these retailers to make up from some of the foot traffic. And free shipping cut into margins as well. But overall, Wayne, I'd say holiday shopping, not bad, but expectations had been for better results.
Thanks, Brian. Brian Ford of RBC Wealth Management joins us Monday mornings at this time on WCVE's broadcast of Morning Edition.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm